I really went to London with the idea that I was going to have this child adopted, and then I'd come back and pick up my life as it was before. Because remember, in 1973, 90% of children were adopted. And, you know, you looked at these women and, like, there were the stigma attached to having a child outside marriage was appalling. I had been in a flat before that with three very conservative women, I suppose, all of us, like, out of nice, convent educated schools. And I hadn't told anyone about the pregnancy there, and I'd sort of looked to get special leave from work and it wasn't done, so then I had to get sick leave. Went off to London and had been in touch with the priest, and who brought me to a hostel, and the hostel was grand and they looked after me great for a couple of days. But my sister had some friends in London and one of the girls was moving out of the flat, so I was able to move into a flat with them. And would you believe, one was a social worker, one was a public health nurse, the landlady was a public health nurse in Irish. So, you know, I hadn't made from that aspect of things. I felt I couldn't tell my parents at 27 I was pregnant. My mother was 70 and my father was 79. So they're more like grandparents. But my mother had always said to me, you know, if you're ever in trouble, I'm there for you. So anyway, the landlady in the house where I was staying had two children and she had them late in life. And she kept saying to me, you know, nobody told me as a married woman I should have my child adopted. Why do you think you should have yours? And even my social worker that was with the Adoption Society in London, which was called the Crusade of Rescue, she was from Mayo as well, and she was told me about her cousin that had brought the child home, and, like, you know, no stigma attached. The turning point is once you see this little scrap that's yours, it's part of you, you know, that didn't ask to be born. And what prepares you for the amount of love that's pouring out for this? They're just gorgeous. And prior to that, you thought every infant was the same, but yours is extra special and so special. And to be separated from it was heartbreaking. The decision came gradually. There was nothing else you could do, really. Nothing else you could do. Actually, when I went back to work, I told someone on the other side of my desk that I had a child. I don't believe you, she said. Bring me in the birth certificate. That's as much. And of course, when I went to London, I even changed my name. And the name on the birth certificate is Evelyn Flynn, alias Ford or something. My first involvement was after I had come back from London, having left my little baby with foster parents. And people had told me about Cherish. And I remember going up to the Kimmage Road and being on the wrong side of the road, and someone said, you know, where's 335? And immediately she knew what I was looking for. She very kindly, that's the house over there. So I think I called and Moore wasn't there. And then she rang me and I called later. And it was just so wonderful to talk to someone in that had been through a similar position 3 years before that. I had found out that the father was married. So, I mean, there wasn't much support there. I didn't know anything about maintenance, and at that time, I think the maximum amount of maintenance one could get was £5 a week, and you had to get that within the first 6 months of the child being born. And before I went to Cherish, I had gone to a solicitor that the Adoption Society in South Ann Street had referred me to, and the solicitor there just tapped me on the hand and said, I think you'd be better off having the child adopted. I didn't go to him for advice, I went to him for him to look after me. And then Cherish put me in touch with another solicitor, and I had to go up to court and swear in the witness box that this guy was the dad. And I subsequently got about £3 a week, and that was very sporadic. And you didn't do anything wrong, but to have to go into a witness box and with the Bible in your hand, never been there before or since, and have to swear that what you're saying is true. At the time, you put your emotions on hold, because otherwise you'd never get through it. But it was good to have it done and dusted. But it's amazing how pregnancy makes you act, or how having delivered a baby and all these hormones are running around your body, how you just get on and get with it and realise what you have to sort of fight for your child. And, you know, once you got support and once you got a roof over your head, you know, you were there somewhat. Yeah, Maura was a great help and support, and you could ring her up at any stage. And then I got involved with the committee, and there were more meetings. And, like, we could have been out every single night of the week. And there was fundraising, there was meeting other groups, everything was going on. It was absolutely wonderful because it gave you the strength to carry on. And it gave you a support network. When something would crop up, you could always ring somebody and they may or may not have the answer, or someone would be ringing you. First fundraising was going out with your tin box on Flag Days and going around the pubs and having to ask the guy behind the counter, all right, so we collect for charity. Oh, okay, you can collect for the church. Or someone else to say, okay, collect for charity. They didn't hear charity, you see. And the amazing thing there was is that a lot of women, of course, they didn't have money in. They'd let the men put money in the box, but they wouldn't put any in themselves. And the men might say, oh, yeah, sure, I have one of those at home. Strange. I was amazed at places, in poorer places in the city, how no one would refuse you. They wouldn't put a lot of money in the box, but they would always sort of contribute a few bob. We felt we could achieve. Like, everybody wanted things to happen and, you know, happen quickly. But, you know, bit by bit, things did change. I mean, having Mary Robinson as our president was absolutely amazing. And apparently when Maura asked Mary to become president, she was then a senator. She was the youngest senator ever to be elected. She'd been fighting all sorts of causes, and it was amazing all the things that she, causes she fought for and what she achieved. And I mean, she's just such a brilliant woman, and we're so grateful to her for coming on board and doing what she could to help get the status of illegitimacy. We had two other guys from Trinity as well with us, William Duncan and Jimmy O'Reilly, and they were very, very good help to us as well. People think you're strong, but you aren't born strong. The things you face in life and you work through is actually what makes you stronger. Because prior to having Robert, I was like a cork bobbing on the ocean. I had no depth. I had never been through any traumas. And then all of a sudden, your life changes completely. Bit by bit, I suppose, as more of us kept our children and it became more commonplace, we were able to go out and stand up and say, yes, I'm an unmarried mother. And yes, this is my child. And there's no difference between this child and the other child. I'm very, very grateful that Cherish was there, and without his help and support, I don't know what I would have done.